Blog Talk Radio.
I am your host with the most here on a Monday night. Yes, it is Monday night. This is each and every Monday night. You rock Four Quarters with Coach Lee. This is where we talk about women's football, what needs to happen, what could happen, what should happen, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, that's how we do that, and that's how we do this. Yes, I'm rocking and rolling without my super-duper producer, BJ. She's out on the road, but you know what? She told me I can get it done. So at this moment, I can't take phone calls until she actually get in. I know there's a lot of people that want to do, you know, call in about some issues and some things and some of this and some of that, but I can't help you right now. I'm going to try to keep the subjects a little bland at the beginning so that we can get it juicy and that you can always add in once we get our super-duper producer, BJ. BJ, hurry it up, why don't you? All right, anyway, you know, it's been a great week of football. There's a lot of interesting news that took place over the last week, some joining, some combining of teams, some separations of teams. I put it out there. I got a wonderful response from those on the Ning board as far as different topics to talk about. I got enough to do probably about 20 shows, but, hey, I'm limited in the time period that we have. And like I said, if you have any time, any moment to want to join in, you can always go over to the Ning board. That's Women's Tackle Football Group.ning.com. Hit my page, Coach Lee. Go in my inbox and drop me a little bit of something saying, you know, here's some topics that you might want to talk about. And like I said, you know, I talk about them because that's what we do here on Four Quarters, Coach Lee. We talk about beatness. We talk about what's going down, what's happening, and what's going on. Yes, I am rocking it live. I am live on the radio. But let me check in real quick. I got to check in real quick, make sure. Did that young lady just come in? All right, they got the keys. Cool. All right. So, find who? Yeah. About what? Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to open it tonight. Yeah. Let me go check this out. Yeah, so the bottom line is, yeah, you rocking Four Quarters, Coach Lee. I'm doing this thing live here at work, and sometimes at 7 o'clock it's just kind of chaotic. But you know what? I do what I do, you know what I'm saying? So let me give my sponsors a little love. And then we're going to move on with the show. You know what? We got Adidas. My Adidas, your Adidas. We all should be rocking Adidas, you know what I'm saying? Because they support women's sports, you know what I'm saying? So you got to get it done. Support Adidas. We got Enterprise Rent a Car. Why pick Enterprise? Because they will pick you up. And also for Rogers Athletic Equipment, the official football equipment of the women's football camp and conference, where the good get better, make sure you check that out. That's womensfootballcamp.com. That's womensfootballcamp.com. You need to sign up. It's only going to get better because that's where the good get better. Gee. Oh, I thought he was looking in, trying to get in there. My bad. All right. With that in mind, let's go ahead and do what we do. We're going to rock this show. Like I said, I'm kind of freelancing a little bit without having, you know, eyes on the board. So if you call in, just hold on. Press 1 and pound. Once I get BJ on, I'll let you know what's going down. So anyway, let's go ahead and do this like we do. Whoop! And it's a deep, deep, deep kick. Because, again, we talk about the good, the bad, the ugly here on Four Quarters with Coach Lee. Let's go ahead and start off with quarter number one. You know, I got three good topics tonight, and I know people are going to want to possibly call in, and I don't want to leave anybody out, but you know what? I got to get this thing rocking and rolling. I have one good topic that could probably be a show by itself, but I think it's very important. And the question came to me about is, what do we all believe qualifies a coach to be coaching women's football or women's semi-pro football? You know, what makes a coach think they are a coach, or what's the qualifications? I mean, in part one of football, you know, one, you got to pass the background check to be able to work with kids, and two, you got to be able to devote that time and effort. You must sign a waiver, you know, saying that you won't be using inappropriate language and some other stuff, and basically they'll take you on from there. As a high school coach, you get interviewed by a committee. You know, you have a resume. Hopefully you have some experience either coaching or playing that would actually help you. And as we get further and further down the chain, experience is more important than anything of just coaching football. Some of us have started at the Part 1 level and worked our way up to junior high school and worked our way up to high school, into junior college, into college, into the professional field of coaching. Some of us have played ball up to that level and then turned around and became a coach. There's some good examples of that. But what qualifies a coach to be a coach, especially for a women's team? That's really a hard question. Because, again, most coaches do it for the love of the game because they're not getting paid for it. Most coaches have gotten their coaching aspirations or start because they are the owner of the team. Not necessarily that they're qualified coaches. There's some coaches that have retired and decided they want to get back to the basics, get back to fundamental football. But again, as a coach, you know you qualify based on your experience. Like I said, your first experience would probably be playing. Probably playing would be your first qualification. I mean, have you played the sport? You know, to what degree, to what level, you know. Like I said, just because you played the game don't mean you know how to coach. I mean, I use my personal experience. I was coached by a Hall of Fame defensive back from the Oakland Raiders named Willie Brown, who was all-world with the Raiders from the 60s through the 70s to the early 80s, real early 80s. Turned around and became a defensive back coach for the Raiders. And then he wind up, you know, a couple years, 20 years, not only 20 years, but 10 years later, came and coached me in college in the 90s. And as a young athlete, I thought this was the greatest, you know. Hey, I got a Hall of Fame coach going to coach me up and teach me all the ins and outs of being a great DB. Well, to find out, we butted heads because he was always a great player. He was always ahead of his game. He was already 6'2", 225 in the 60s. He formulated the bump and run you know, as defensive back. But he didn't know how to teach the skills because he always had the top-level athletes to put into a system. So we butted heads because here I was anticipating that because he's a Hall of Famer that, hey, I'm going to learn the best from him. And find out we butted heads because he wasn't teaching me nothing because I was a small defensive back. I'm 5'10", 155, 160 max. And he wants me to go bump and run. You know, he's bringing out films back in 1968 where the wide receivers were in three-point stands and ran a 5'140". You know, here I am, you know, in, you know, receivers in a two-point stand, 6'3", 225, 240, and run a 4'4", 40. So you got to play different technique, different style of air, different era of game. And he realized that he couldn't teach the fundamental aspects of the game. You know, and matter of fact, me and Willie Brown are great friends. We're best friends right now. I mean, we talk all the time. I'm always talking to him. He's still with the Raiders organization and stuff like that, so no disrespect. But again, just because you're a great athlete don't mean you can teach. There was another situation in track and field that I was involved in. Again, where the coach was All-American triple jumper and long jumper, but he was a natural, but couldn't teach the average Joe how to do that, and he didn't understand that. He just took the best athletes and thought he was coaching. Well, to me, a qualified coach is one that's going to take interest in what you're doing as an athlete. Ask you the question of what is your goal for the season? Is it to play? Is it to start? Is it to make all league? Is it to make all American? Is it to make, you know, whatever? Once I establish that goal and put that within the system, the teamwork system, we're going to try to get the most out of you. So a coach got to be one open ear to be able to understand why the athlete is out there, especially with women. Again, there's several reasons why women are out here to play the game. Some don't like some of the things I come up with, but you know what? It's just life. You know, most of women come out here for the socialization of women getting together. Some women are out here because, you know, they want to play a man's sport. Other women out here trying to get in shape. Other women out here to compete. Other women are out here to win. Other women are out here to learn the full concept of the game. And some of them are the men of the house, and being that they have kids and it's just them. They're single parents. You know, they have sons or whatever, and they want to be able to teach. So it's a wry reasons of why the women play. But, again, going back to what qualifies you as a coach, you know, again, knowledge of the game, understanding the game. I didn't have to interview myself. I already knew. I knew the game. I'm a son of a coach. I got 40 years under my belt. I'm 40 years old, and I got 40 years of football experience. When I was 3 months old enough to leave my mama because I was breastfed, Daddy was taking me to the film sessions. So I'm just letting you know. I got 40 years of football experience as a player, as a coach, as an observer, as a one who broke down 16-millimeter and 8-millimeter film. When it broke, you had to tape it up. I mean, it's a whole bunch of things. So, again, you know, those are my qualifications. I played Pop Warner football. I played high school ball. I played Division I college ball. Never wanted to play pro ball. That wasn't my mission. So, again, just being around football is a qualification. Two, again, having an understanding of what you're doing with your athletes. Three, having a program set to benefit your athletes and teach, i.e., women's football, football 101. 10-week course or camp that we do here in Vegas. Again, I'm just using my experience. I can't talk for those others that are out there. You know, I just can't do that. But you want to know what the qualifications are. Now, as a player, you need to get you a list, just like you are interviewing somebody for the job. You know, they got to dress the part. They got to act the part. They got to be the part, you know. You just can't take any old Joe Schmo off the street and say, oh, he's a football coach just because he got a football in his hand. You know, if you got to do background checks, you got to do background checks. You need to have references. I would never hire a coach as a head coach that don't have no reference, that doesn't have any experience. You're putting yourself in the box. You know, I tell new teams out there who are looking for coaches, especially the team-owned teams, go to the local high school with the best program. the winningest high school in your city. Talk to the head coach himself and find out if he's willing to help you guys get going. If he doesn't have the time, you ask him, can we talk to your offensive coordinator or your defensive coordinator? Because everybody that's in a football system, coaching system, eventually wants to grow up to be a head coach at some point in time. At some point in time. So you might get the special teams coach. You might get the offensive coordinator. You might get the linebacker coach who want to hone their skills of coaching, especially during the springtime because there's no football during that time. So you got to find those coaches. And I'm going to tell you what, 99% of football coaches don't know how to coach women football players because they never grew up around that. They don't know any women football players. So it's a learning device that all of us as coaches that have grown up in football are learning to adjust. Yes, there is a difference in the women's game, and it's mental. It's not really physical. You ladies can do everything that the men can do as long as you're going up against other women. It's possible. It can be done. But the mental aspect of women's football is at its weakest. It is at the lowest point. You know, you got to get used to the fact that you're coming out on a battlefield. All coaches understand that this is a battle. They're like drill sergeants. Some come off this way. Some come off that way. Some yell all the time. Some talk, whatever. But you got to understand, it's part of the culture of football. And I'm kind of tying this in because, again, you're asking the question of what qualifies a coach. Well, again, you have to find out, you know, what philosophy is the coach coming from? Is he a yeller or is she a yeller? It doesn't matter. You know, give them scenarios. How would you handle this, this, and this? And there's a whole bunch of things that coaches just have not ever been through when you're dealing with women, you know, in talking about football. So they're going to have a lot of I don't knows, you know. I know I'm learning over the last 5 years, and I still don't understand. I still don't understand, you know, some of the things that take women off about, you know, about this and that. It's football. If you want to play the game, then deal with the battlefield and how it's ran. Can it change? Yes, it can, but you have to adjust as players to the fact that coaches are coaches. This is how they've always coached. Nothing personal. Nothing personal. It's always business. And I've actually sent out, there's a, what is it on here, on the NEEM board. There's like a role situation where you can understand what each role of each coach is all about. And, you know, you got to come to the understanding. You got to get the book for dummies. You got to do all this other stuff. But again, what qualifies? There is no qualification. There is no super-duper test that you can take and say, oh, you qualify to be a women's football coach. It's not. It's a test, trial, and error type of situation. It's always mixed. It's like water and oil. We're not going to know the reaction until we put it all together or whatever chemicals we're using, you know, to perm my hair or whatever. You know what I'm saying? The first person that came up with that had to test it, and that's what women's football is all about. It's a test period. You know, I don't know how to motivate you necessarily. As a player, I didn't have to root and rot and jump up and down and get pumped up. I threw my headphones on, and you heard the theme song. That's Public Enemy. That was me. I'm not a cheerleader coach. I don't jump up and down. Some coaches do. That's how they get, you know, and ladies, you see it on TV, you see Ray Lewis come out and he start dancing and you think that's part of football, that you have to be that. And it's not true. That's him. That's him getting pumped up. You know what pumps you up. Hopefully you played sports. And that's another thing that we deal with as coaches. We get a lot of women that haven't even played sports, team sports, let alone individual sports, trying to make them athletes, trying to push them beyond the barriers of where they've never gone. So, yes, you're going to have oil and water. But, again, what is the true qualification of a coach to coach women's football? The only thing I can say is a clean background check. That's truly the only qualification that I can think of. You got to have knowledge of the game. You got to have a system. You got to have a system that you believe in. You can't run something just because somebody else tell you to run it. If you don't know it, you ain't going to run it. You're not going to feel comfortable. If you have any doubt in your system, in your belief system, your philosophy is what it's called, you got holes in your program. And again, ladies out there, you got to buy into the program. Bottom line is, if you have a coach, if you agree or disagree, you must buy into the program. If you don't buy into the program, it's not going to work. You can't go into a football game with doubt. Once you have doubt, you then lost the game. Again, the game is 90% mental, 10% physical. If you don't think you can tackle the other girl, you won't tackle the other girl. If you don't think you can catch, you won't catch. If you don't think you can run, you won't run. If you don't think you can throw, you won't be able to throw. Again, it's mental. It's mental. The physical part is just running into somebody, like saying run into a wall. You know? Your mental won't let you do it because it's going to hurt, and you know it's going to hurt. Your physical don't care until after you hit the wall. Then your physical part of your body be talking about, why did you do that? That was dumb, because now you got a broken arm, you got a broken leg, you got a broken shoulder. Okay? So, again, football is 90% mental. And if you don't have your mental game up, you will not succeed in this. Same thing as a coach. It's 100% mental. It's a chess game. I'm trying to figure out what the other coach is trying to do before the coach do what they do. I'm watching film to break down the weaknesses of the team and exploit those weaknesses with my best players or my strengths. Football is a mental game. Coaches win the game in the film room. Coaches win the game on the practice field. But once again, if you don't believe in the coach's system, it don't matter what the qualifications are. It just don't. And, you know, I can talk about this because I'm going through it now. Like I said, I'm open about my situation. You know, I ain't got nothing to hide because it's football. You know, we're going to win with or without you. It's the attitude of most coaches. They want coachable players. They want coachable players. I can coach anybody to be good. I can't make a good player better if they're not willing to be coachable. And that's what athletes have to understand. And for some reason, it's a stubbornness in women's football that they don't want to take orders from men. I know I'm about to get slammed on that one, but, hey, I'm just going by experience and the comments that I hear and things that I hear from other coaches. It's like a mutiny going on. It's like, it ain't happening. Women are mounting up and saying, we don't need you. We just learned everything. Now, peace out. I've had several coach friends that are coaches of teams that aren't coaching anymore. You know, I don't know what that is. But, again, that's the players not knowing their role on the team. You don't take over a team. The coach is the general. Like it or not, you either play for him or you don't play for him. If that's your only opportunity to play, then that's where you're going to be playing if you want to play. Again, I'm talking from experience. I'm talking 5 years experience of coaching women's football. I'm talking about starting a team from scratch almost every year. You know, so it's no big deal to me. You know, just warming up and just say, hey, I'm moving on to greener pastures, coach. That's all you have to do. So that's a better understanding. So, again, what are the true qualifications? Having a philosophy and sticking to it. You don't want a coach that's going to be weeble-wobbling or on this boat and jump on this boat every week. You don't want a weak coach that's not going to speak his or her mind, of course, with respect. But you don't want a coach that's going to be changing the offense just because each and every week. You know? Yes, there are different triggers. There's just different things. I'm looking at the name board. You know, like, again, it's a self-motivation thing. I know personally as a coach, it's a challenge for me. I get a kick out of seeing someone who's never played the game before and turn around and become an All-American. You know, because somebody believes in that person. That's what football does to your character. A lot of women have come into this game with low self-esteem, I'll put it that way. Football is the biggest self-esteem builder in the world of all sports because the theme is, so what, you got knocked down. It's what you do after you get knocked down is what counts, you know. You got to understand that. It's not a situation where you click. Ah, there we go. BJ's on the board. All right, welcome, BJ. I'm just talking, baby. But anyway, football is that way. And it's a thin line between being the coach and a friend. And I think some of the ladies want, you know, the friendship. And it's not about friendship. It's about coaching. It's about drawing that line in the dirt and saying, this is what's going to take place. I love you. It's all good. This is business, not personal. Okay? So, again, this could be a whole show about, you know, what are the criteria. But, again, be an active learner as a coach. Don't be an old dog who can't learn new tricks, you know. But be firm at what you do and run what you know. Because, again, we're working with adults on the other end. They see stupid. They see dumbness. They ask why, you know, and don't take offense to that. You have to be open-minded as a coach. You know, I think a lot of coaches, a lot of the male coaches have been intimidated by coaching women because they've asked a lot of questions of why. And coaches aren't used to having players ask them why questions. It's like, yes, sir, no, sir, and that's it. Again, we got to have a better understanding of what's going on. We got to have it. Ah, I've got a good quote. Football doesn't build character. Football reveals character. So true. You know, because if you don't have it, it will be revealed. You know, you can really find out what a person is all about in football. You find out who gives up first, who quits, who's all about themselves. You know, you always get the question, when I'm going to get mine? It ain't about you. It's about us. It's about the team. It's about winning together, you know. So, again, qualifications, I don't know if I got any people on the line, Coach BJ, any coaches that want to step up and talk about what some of the qualifications are, but, you know, let me know, hit me on the Ning board. I'm at the Women's Tackle Football Group .ning.com. I hear I just got listeners, and that's great, you know, but the quarter number two, I know I'm messing up because I've probably been 15 minutes, but again, I start talking and I start rumbling because that's what I do because I'm a coach. A coach can do that. You got to have plan A, plan B, plan C ready to go. You got to have your secret weapon ready to go. But moving on, quarter number two is still talking about coaching. You know, the next question came about, you know what, a lot of head coaches get the praise. Let me back up. Hey, for those who are listening who want to, you know, talk, whatever, dial 347-826-7278. Press 1 and pound to talk, and BJ will throw you in just like that. But anyway, like I said, we're back at quarter number two, and we're talking about coaching. Well, the head coach is an important figure, but a head coach is not nothing without good assistant coaches. The assistant coaches make the team work, you know, and it's hard to get good assistant coaches in women's football. It is a volunteer situation, and sometimes you get what you pay for. You know, again, I can speak from experience, you guys. I've been around this for 5 years, going on six with this thing. The good football coaches are offended by trying to coach women's football. They're like, what are you doing? That's a step below Pop Warner football. Why would I want to step down? They don't understand the teaching aspect of it, how it keeps you on your toes. You know, because you really got to be a good explanation. You got to be a good teacher to coach. And some coaches don't want to be that. They want to be, do this because I say do it, and that's why. Nothing else about it. Just do. But your assistant coaches are key. They are key. If you want to watch the college rankings, they're using the pro rankings. You know, who's the first one to get fired? Not the head coach. They fire who? The offensive coordinator, i.e. the San Francisco 49ers. You know, defense coordinators, DB coaches, whatever. But it's the head coach's job to institute his or her plan, his or her philosophy, his or her offense and defense that they would like to run, that they might be a guru at, but they need to find somebody who would just like them in mind that's going to run the offense the way that they want it done. Or if they don't know a certain offense, they're going to hire the offense coordinator to bring that style of offense in. The head coach is just the general. You know, everybody else is out there, you know, putting people in place, running everything, you know, getting it done. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned with my team, I moved from L.A. to Vegas and started a team. I knew nobody. I had 75 players out there ready to go. Can I coach all of them? In my mind, I can't because I'm just that good of a coach. I know every position. But is it fair for me to do that? No, because I can't spend the amount of time that's needed for each player to learn their position, you know. So I had to find assistant coaches. And sometimes you just find just warm bodies on the sidelines. Some of them are actually husbands of the or boyfriends of the players or brothers of the players. And you're just like, hey, man, you know football, right? Yeah. Can you run this drill for me? I've been there, done that. You know, again, dealing with women's football, you might find the wrong coaches who are thinking that, oh, I got a bunch of women here. Hey, I can do what I want. No. Assistant coaches are just as important as the head coach, if not important, and they must be great teachers as well because they are hands-on with each individual position. They have to be knowledgeable of the game. It has to be a trust factor in there. Again, speaking from experience, I know I keep using this, but having coaches who wanted to be the head coach, who didn't want to listen to what the head coach had to say, who felt that they should have been the head coach. Now you're bumping heads. If a coaching staff cannot agree in front of the players, it's doomed. Coaches go at it in meetings. It's okay. We do it all the time. We do it all the time. That's what we deal with. But when we walk out that room, we're all on the same page. You know, so again, I would want a great DB coach because the question is, you know, how many coaches are really needed? Well, if you got a sincere program, if you got enough women out there to players ain't got to go both ways and play special teams, you should have approximately nine coaches. Nine coaches. All right, I got somebody on the line, but let me finish this last point so people can understand. The nine coaches, you got the head coach. You have an offensive coordinator. You have a defensive coordinator. Those coordinators also do dual positions. They might be the quarterback coach and a linebacker coach. Okay? You need a D-line coach. You need a DB coach. You need a special teams coach. Okay? You need an O-line coach. You need a running back coach. And like I said, in women's football, it's hard to get a full coaching staff, but you do what you got. So I'm going to leave that right there real quick. They said we got some people on the line. If that is you, please press pound, one and pound if you want to, you know, say something. If not, I can move on. Again, press one and pound if you want to add to the conversation. So, again, going back, the head coach is only as good as his or her assistant. Again, a good scenario is my girl Natalie Randolph over in Washington, D.C. She surrounded herself around with people who knew football. You know, some people that have been around 40, 50 years have come back to help just because she knows she has to have a good staff around her for the players to believe in her system because the woman by herself would not have gotten the boys to play. And matter of fact, congratulations, she won her first game this past Friday. I think she's 1-4 or 1-5 or something like that. But, hey, getting that first one off your shoulders is the key. Now you can move on and just straight coach. It's not a big hoopla about you being a female coach. You know, now you're just a coach. And just like you players out there, you guys aren't women's football players. You're football players. Act like it, be like it, and make it happen. Okay? Stop handicapping yourself. You are a football player. You are a football player. All right? So, moving back on. Again, there's some great things that are going on in the chat room over on the Ning board. I know Coach Lunatic was like my first coach job was at his old
high school. The head coach told me to coach, never disagree in front of the other players because it undermines the coach's ability to teach the players.
Definitely that. You know, assistant coaches can't undermine, no matter how stupid and how dumb that head coach is or what they want to do. Your job is to carry out the orders of the head coach. If you undermine, you're going to split the team. That goes on a lot in women's football. There's a lot of people who think that they know more than the head coach, which is fine. You deal with that behind closed doors. You don't front them in front of the players. You know, you deal with it. Either you follow the coaches philosophy and thing, you either talk it out or you wind up leaving and go start the other team or start a team. And that's how some teams have started, you know, because they don't agree with the head coach. It's always somebody out there that feel they can do it better. But a true coaching staff is going to work together and communicate. And, again, that's a key word for you football players. You got to communicate. If something you don't like or don't understand, you got to bring that up. Same thing with coaches. I don't want to give my coaches some DB drills and they just shaking their head like, yeah, 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 and then get out there and don't know what the hell they're doing. Then I got to come out there as a head coach and explain. Now I'm not showing trust in the ability of my coach. Now who are the players are going to listen to? They're like, well, why are you even here? The head coach had to come over here and do it. You didn't even know how to do it. So now you didn't lost respect from your players. Okay? So, again, assistant coach got to go do you got to go to these camps. You got to know what the latest thing is about football. It's your position. Go learn the opposite position. If you're a linebacker coach, you need to find out what the offensive line coaches are teaching for technique. You need to know what the running back coaches are teaching. You got to be a student of the game. You have to be. And, again, the assistant coaches actually go out and gather that information and bring it back to the head coach. And then from there, they sit down and develop their plan of action of what they're going to do and what they're going to teach. You know, like I said, sometimes the head coach is just a spokesperson for the organization and for the team. It's the assistant coaches that go out and gather and do the research and bring it back to the head coach. It works like that, you guys. It's a dictatorship. Not that all head coaches are that way, but a lot of systems are that way. Look at Joe Paterno. Joe Paterno don't know nothing about the spread option offense. He didn't invent that. He's a two-back, two wide receivers and one tight end type of guy. But in order for him to coach, he had to, what, modernize his offense. So what do? He got a young cat to go out there, or he hired this young cat to learn, you know, these things. You've got to understand, you can make change as long as everybody's under the understanding that it can happen. So, again, a good head coach is only as good as his assistants. His assistants are only as good as the players that they teach, and the players are only as good as they want to be. You know, that's how I'm going to tie it up. I'm just going to tie it up like that. If you can't follow that in that order, then you will never be successful. You will never have a team that wins. You know, I would rather take a team of great learners than a bunch of talent that ain't coachable. And I would say 99.99% of all coaches out there that are out there will agree with that. We want coachable players. We'll make you talented. We'll pull out the best talent in you. But we don't want talent players who don't want to be coached and who don't want to work. And those are some of the things, again, from my experience that goes on these teams. You know, you got to clean it up. You got to understand it's one way or the other. Either you roll with the coaches or you don't. Either you become a coach and start up and see how hard it is and walk in the shoes that your coaches walk in, you will understand. I've had four female coaches that have coached with me. And to this day, they're probably still one of my best coaches because they were open and wanted to learn. They went to football camp. They did the things that I asked them to do to get better. I wasn't treating them any different than I would treat any other coach. You better know your stuff. If you don't know your stuff, I'm only yelling at you. If the players ain't doing what need to be done, it's on you. And that's the pressures that assistant coaches have. That's why the turnovers with assistant coaches are there. Look at the college rankings. They're all over the place. You know, assistant coaches come a dime a dozen. But look at those programs that have succeeded over the last 10 years, last 20 years, and look at their core coaches. The teams that had the core coaches together the longest tend to be the ones who won and who are winning. And everybody wants to be a part of a winner. You know, if you look at the coaching tree, I don't know if you're familiar with the coaching tree, but you got the Bill Walsh coaching tree. If you look at all the coaches that have coached with him, and taking his philosophy and moved on, I think he has the biggest coaching tree in the NFL right now. Everybody runs a certain offense because of Bill Walsh. He's the innovator of that. If you look at college, you will look at Urban Meyer as an inventor of the spread option offense and how many people have gone to his camps and learned his system and then put a twist on it and changed the terminology. You know, the new offense, that's being ran that's similar to the spread is called the pistol. It was invented by the coach from the University of Nevada, Reno, Chris Ulfs. You know, now everybody wants to run the pistol. Well, that's something that I run for the last 3 years because I dig what he was doing when he started doing it. It's similar to the spread option, which is great, but it still has the power run and all the other stuff into it. But again, me being a coach, I have to be open as assistant coach or head coach. And then once you believe in what you got, then you roll with it. I believe in my offense. I believe in my defense. It's now about being like a college coach and putting in the right pieces to make it happen. And if those pieces don't believe in it, then it won't work. There's not a football system out there that the players don't that they don't believe in, and they're winning. Again, mentally, 90% of football is mental. You got to believe in what you're doing. You got to believe in what's going on. You got to believe in the coaches. You just have to. Yeah, I'm preaching. I know. Some of y'all laughing out there. But you know what? Hey, I just speak from the heart. I speak the truth, like it or not. You know what I'm saying? I just do what I do. Because that's what football is. I tell the girls all the time, football is a factual sport. You can't almost score a touchdown. Either you scored or you didn't. You can't almost make a tackle. Either you made the tackle or you didn't. You didn't almost jump offside. You either jumped offside or you didn't. You didn't almost catch the ball. You either caught it or you didn't catch it. Very factual. Very factual. And sometimes we as human beings don't like the facts, the end results of facts, because it implies if we're good or we're bad. But that's what football is all about. It's a learning sport. But anyway, like I said, hey, I got lots of things I can talk about. Again, those are some of the two of the topics that dealt with coaching. And again, it's a basket weave. It's a bunch of things that are highlighted. This could be a show for hours. You know what I'm saying? But it's an opportunity, like Coach Holmes is saying. It's great to see growth. And as a coach, that's what I see. You know, as a coach, am I disappointed that I didn't win the championship? Yes, but out of 50 teams, 49 other coaches are feeling the same way. You got to understand that. It's just not me. It's 49 other coaches that didn't get our goal. Everybody goes at the beginning of the season to go undefeated to win the championship. But there's only one team in each league that can win the championship, period, point blank. You know? But do I see growth in the team? Yes. Yes. To go from 2-5 to 2-6 to the 5-3 to 8-1 to 10-2, that's growth. If you can't see that as a player, you're blind. If you can't see that, you're blind. You're not looking at the ultimate goal. It's to be part of a winning program. It's about being part of believing in the coaches. It's about believing in yourself. It's about achieving the ultimate goal of winning. I can't say that I've lost games and had fun in those games. Even as selfish as I've been as an individual player in college, as a freshman, getting in the game and making catches and stuff like that was cool. I had fun. But at the end of the game, when we lost, it felt bad. But when you win, that's the ultimate team goal. Okay. So give me one second. I need to take a call real quick. BJ. So if anybody want to get on the line, let me know. But give me one second, take a call.
Yes, ma'am. Hey. I'm on my show.
All right. You home? All right. Bye.
Yeah, that's the real boss. The real boss just checked in with. So, yes, he home. Everything's good.
Oh, I hear music. I'm back, BJ. BJ, I'm back.
So again, the bottom line is this. The bottom line. I know I should hear the music. I know, BJ. You see if I can hit it on the knee floor real quick. So I start singing. Y'all don't want me to sing. You said it's locked up. Can you hear me?
You can hear me, I'm cool. I can still talk over this. That's be my theme music in the background. All superheroes in the team. Okay, well, you can hear me, that's cool. So, again, wow, I had a 40 moment. I just lost my train of thought.
athletes. Again, going back to coaching philosophy. And losing and winning. There we go. That's all right. I'm starting to think now. All right. If the ultimate goal is winning as a team. And yes, the ultimate goal is to win a championship. We are going to win a championship if we can all work on the same page. If the head coach has a great philosophy, great team, if he has a good coaching staff that can put that information out, teach the ladies on how to play, you have quality teams. If you look at the quality teams that are out there right now, the coaching staff probably been together 3 to 5 years. That's why they're winning. I have a core group of coaches with me, and I'm adding every year because, again, there's always something missing. I only want to be around the best. You know, I want my coaches to challenge me. I'm only going to get better if I'm challenged, just like me playing another team. I don't want to play no gumball team that I know I'm going to win. That's not a challenge. I want to be challenged every time, every week. You know, I get a kick out of beating a team that's just as good, that has just as many athletes. That's what makes it be a good game. All right? So I'm going to end it right there. Like I said, I got about 15 minutes. I hope the song runs out before then, and we can get it going. But yes, y'all. This is 4-4 with Coach Lee every Monday night, y'all. And hey, we get it done because we get it done the way we get it done. All right, last 15 minutes of the show. There was a big announcement of a merger of 8 teams, Dallas Diamond, Pittsburgh Passion, New York Sharks, DC Divas, KC Tribe, the San Diego Surge. I don't think I'm missing 2 teams. I'm not in front of my computer right now. But there's some kind of agreement going on that they possibly might be joining the WFA. There's another entity involved in it. I do have some details, but again, my whole thing is I've always preached that everybody should stand under one roof. I have no secret about that. I've always preached that because I want to play the best. Again, just like a coach, I want to play the best. I want to go against the best. I don't want no limitations. We got the same level of ball. We got 11 women on my side that play offense. You got 11 women play defense. Let's go. So is it a good move? In my opinion, yes. In my opinion, it's a good move because it is bringing some things together. From my understanding originally, a couple months ago, it was supposed to be their own league. And like I said, I've talked to each and every owner at some point, some degree of, you know, what my thoughts were on it. And like I said, and like I preach all the time on the show, I think everybody should be under one roof. Condense this down by regions to keep your money down, to keep travel down. And then, you know, if you are the best will rise to the crop. I mean, to the top, just like the cream at the top. You know, when you boil in oatmeal, what happens? The cream rises to the top. Then you can claim your nest. In your national tournament, your national playoffs, or whatever you deem necessary to get done. So, again, with the merger of those teams joining, and once the details are out, you know, it'll be great. I'm hoping that we are able to have a ultimate playoff, a national playoff. And like I said, let the truth be told that the best play against each other. And like I said, I've never, ever promoted one league over another league. And some people don't believe that, but that's just me. I just don't. I promote women's football. You got information, you got videos, you got whatever, it's on the meeting board. You know what I'm saying? I do a lot of research and try to help a lot of teams. I don't care what league you're in. But the fact is, I just want to play ball, and most of the coaches do. So if I'm heading back to the computer now so I can find out what's going down. But that's where we at, you guys. I think it's a great move. I think it's a mature move. I think people want to sit at the table and talk. You know, it's just where it is. It's what it should be.
So, again, it's just a partnership, like I said, in an agreement. There's some other things that got to go down. I don't know the details of details, but within the next 30 to 45 days, we'll have an idea of what's going down. And like I said, I'll keep pushing and I'll keep pushing and I'll keep pushing. I don't care what banner it comes under, but, again, the League 96 is the ultimate. Get everybody under one roof, break it down regionally, let's ball, play your 10 games, get out that region, go play in the national playoffs, and then and take care of it from there. If you don't want to do it that way, then it will never succeed. At some point in time, we all got to come together to make it happen. It ain't going to happen with just one or two of you guys. It ain't going to happen with just 10 people or 10 teams or whatever. You guys got to get it done. And we can get it done. Hey, BJ, anybody press pound one yet? Not yet. All right, folks, y'all told me y'all was going to call in, and all of a sudden everybody's backing out. But that's all good because, you know, as my co-worker sit here, she know I can talk all day because I make her sick. We got a 503 on the line. 503, you with Coach Lee. How can I help you? What's up?
Hey, Dion, I can vouch for you being a 40 years of football. I coached against your dad, but now it makes me look how old I am.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 40, so you must be 80 then, huh?
I definitely heard your dad, but I did coach against him. So I can vouch for you being 40 years of football.
Yeah,
hey, I'm all for the advancement of women's football, whatever it takes. But I'll tell you, when we're talking about the coaching aspect of it, being in, coaching a team for 26, being a head coach for 26 years, I have to say, I had really a great coach. This is my first year to coach women's football was this year, and I had a lot of fun and really enjoyed it. But I'll tell you what, keeping assistant coaches, it's almost like if you don't pay them, they don't stick around. I had about six or seven different coaches this year, and no one wants, if you don't pay them, they don't stick around. I ended up pretty much the entire year coaching the team by myself, and it actually burned me out. I can actually say that this is the first time at the end of the season that I can say I was burned out. I mean, it wasn't because of the women. It's because I happened to do it all by myself. I mean, it's tough, man.
Oh, yeah, it's real tough, and that's what I say. You get what you pay for sometimes. Some guys are coaches are loyal and just want to teach. They get the thrill of teaching. But others want hand-me-outs. What do I get out of this thing? So with my team, just to help you out, maybe help some other teams out, my coaches don't get paid. But they get the free gear, the T-shirts, the hats, the polos, and also they don't have to pay for their trips or travel. That's taken care of by the organization. So that's my incentive for my coaches. I can't pay you, but I guarantee you won't have to pay out of your pocket but for food expense. That's about it. So that could be one way that you can, entice coaches to come and coach for you, I know some coaches got to pay their own way. I know head coaches that had to pay for their own flights and travel arrangements, and they're the head coach of the team.
Yeah.
So it's the love of the game, man. It's the love of the game that gets these coaches out here. But, again, I get burnt out because, again, the players don't understand what we go through as coaches and how much time that we put into it. And then if you're a coach owner, that's like triple time that you put into this thing. And,
Right.
It's like the players want a pat on the back when they do a good play. Coaches and owners want the same thing in return as well,
Well, we had, without a doubt, in the WFA, the largest travel of anybody in the WFA last year. Just travel expenses, and that's built up women's football. Yes, it helps us, but it also brings in more solid teams. And that's kind of the way I look at it.
Right.
With the 96 league, it's kind of the same thing. You're going to get regions going, we get more teams involved, it makes you travel better. Then if you make the playoffs, then the team comes to, rise to the top and we go from there.
Yes, definitely. I mean, that's the whole concept. The name of the league was just called 96 because it's 96 teams,
like I said, I didn't care who carried the banner of what league or what acronym or whatever, because it didn't matter. It's the fact is that we got to get smarter as owners and as coaches and understand what our limitations are. I think sometimes our dream is so big that the reality is we can't get there, but there is a way to get there, but you got to take the little steps. And the little steps are, hey, be the best that you can be in your region. And if you're good enough, then go to a national level in the playoff system. Because there's not one team out there that's much better than the other outside of the coaching staff, which makes them. There's not many players that played 10 to 15 years of football. You know, every year you get a large number of rookies to come out and play for you. So we're all in the same boat. Again, it's all about that core coaching and the philosophy and the system that the coach works at and believes in that makes that team better. You know, the women got to put in the work. I don't know if I still got Coach on the line. You still on the line, Coach? Hey, I'm not sure if Coach Lynn from the Portland Fighting Phillies is still on the line. But the fact is, you guys, hey, we're doing what we can. And you got to be a realist. You got to be real and understand what's taking place. And, again, yes, coaches get burnt. You know, we get disappointed when players don't show up in practice. You know, I've had that complaint. There's no structured practice. Well, there is structured practice, but within the structure, there's no players. Players come to practice late. Hey, I got an 801 on the line. 801, jump on real quick. You on with Coach Lee. What's up?
801's in the house, Coach. How you doing?
All right. Who's 801? 801.
801's Coach Culver.
Hey, what's happening? Utah in the house. What's happening, Buck? What you got?
Utah's in the house. Hey, I just wanted to go over, you talked about credentials for coaches. And, you know, most of my coaching staff and me, we go way back to Little League football and high school football, semi-pro football together. And we've coached against each other. We've coached with each other. This is only our, you know, this past season was our first year of coaching women. But, you know, I've got a couple coaches that have been high school refs. I've got a staff member that's going to become a coach. He's a former college football player, professional football player with tons of credentials. What I've required of my coaches this year, and I'm paying for it, is to have my coaches get at least a high school certificate, which most coaches in Utah High School aren't required to even have to coach high school. And then on top of that, there's a national coaches certificate. It's just more for credentials and just classes and to learn things that maybe we don't already know as far as credentials, how you talked about credentials earlier. And then also, I don't know how your women's camp and conference is going to be, but I had planned on shipping my whole coaching staff to that. If that's still going to be possible. But we also had talked about Nike in February, March. Nike puts on a coaches clinic, and I think it's a couple days long where you get the professional coaches and college coaches that come in and do a 1 to 2 day deal with coaches. And that's also, like I said, going to be required of my coaching staff and me. And, out of my purse.
And that's what owners have to do that. If you want the qualified coaches, you got to send them to camps and conferences. It ain't got to be the women's football camp and conference, but it will be ideally in Nike because guess what? We're dealing with the same issues. You know, when I go to the high school camps that are ran by colleges, I can't ask certain questions. You know why? Because they don't deal with women football players. I can get scheme. Exactly. I can get philosophy, but I can't get understanding of how do you deal with this situation when you have this type of player that's this way, and then this one, you know. So that was the whole concept of the women's football camp and conference for all of us that are experiencing this, getting coaches like yourself who just stepped into the game, who coached high school and, you know, semi-pro or college ball, and now you're stepping into a whole new realm. You got to get coached up on how to do that. You know, but you have a lot of coaches out there who feel, and I say this in the women's game, that feel that, why they got to learn anymore? They can teach anyone how to play football, you know. And I'm like, dude, you're going up against other coaches that are football rats, you know, that are in the film room breaking stuff down. It's not about what you're teaching the girls. It's can you teach them and win at the same time? Because trust me, when them teams are losing, the women quit just as fast as the men when they're on a losing team. They smart. You got to be able to
You got to be able to coach. And, you know, just because you coach part one of football don't mean that you're a good coach. Just because you coach pro football doesn't mean you're a good coach. You know?
What we're learning, and my coaching staff, you know, same thing. None of us coaches are paid. I'm the owner of this team, and I'm not paid. Everything goes to the team. But I have put the incentive to my coaches that, you know, we dress them in, you know, gear head to toe. And then, you know, out of my personal pocket, you know, when I can take the families out or, you know, have a barbecue at my house for coaches. But I'm lucky with my coaching staff because, like I said, we go back to – a lot of us go back to childhood friends or, you know, met up in semi-pro ball or high school ball, and we all have that same – we came from that same nucleus, that same fundamental of the philosophy we were taught. And it helps out, and they come out. I did roll through two coaches last year. I had two coaches that up and quit or stepped down, however you want to call it. They were brought to my team from a player, and but they wind up stepping down, and their philosophy, you know, they were in it for other reasons. Long story short, they're going to coach that team this year. But my core group of coaches, they do it for the love of the game, the passion of the game. It took a lot to get them to the field to see the girls and the women playing and practicing, but once they were there, they had 100% commitment to the team.
Right. Well, you know, as a player, and you know that we can both speak up on, you know, our high school coach or our Pop Warner coach or whatever level of ball we went to was like our dad. You know what I'm saying? We respect that man to this day, you know. And anytime we hear about our high school coaches or our college coaches or whatever, what's going on, we're following up on it, you know. I just talked to a coach, my high school coach, James Diamore. He hit me up on Facebook last night and said, "Hey, Flea, me and Skull was just talking about you at the football game. He's at a high school game, and everybody was just talking about old times." You know, those were good times. Now, did me and Coach Diamore have the best relationship? No. But we had a respect for each other. He taught me the game, and I didn't like to run extra this and extra that, but guess what? That's part of the game. But now, 23 years later, actually, you know, we're laughing and joking about these things. Nothing he did to make me do, you know, extra rolls or up-downs or whatever, it wasn't personal. It was to make me a better person, to make me not be a quitter, you know. And that's the secret of football for us men, is all the trials and tribulations, the blood, sweat, and tears that we went through, the hell week, the hell weeks, you know, the weekend trips, you know.
7-on-7, summer football, the whole nine yards like that. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, and I'm still in contact with my old high school coach because he still runs, he runs the same offense and defense that he taught us back when we were 14, 15-year-old boys. And we actually have guys we played with that coach with him and at other levels of coaching that, you know, have the same philosophy, same schemes that we send off our game films to them to critique to help us improve so we get other views outside our coaching staff. One thing I wanted to hit on, too, was, you know, you were talking about the roles and responsibility, you know, and us coaches, you know, we have all of our players. You know, I've got young, inexperienced team, and, you know, I've got some women with some more, you know, more worldly experience than I have on my team. But as far as the football, they're real fresh and
they're green.
As long as we're
– yeah.
Yeah, green. And as long as we're examples – you know, I had a past camp this past weekend. We're doing the sort of, you know, emulating the 10-week camp, sort of your suggestion. We're going with it, and it's working real good. And I had some ladies come out that played for us last year and that haven't fully committed to coming back and playing football. And just what they're seeing in this 10-week camp and just young, like I said, young minds, green experience playing football, just, you know, we don't even say jump. They're jumping as high as they can. They're executing. They're having fun. Coaches are having fun. It's great.
Right.
And this coaching women's football has just been a great experience. And I don't think personally, you know, if I ever left coaching again, because I did leave the coaching realm for a while and I started coaching women this past year, and I would never probably go back to coaching men ever again once it paid a lot of money. Because there's just as much drama and politics
and
coaching men
that
there is in
the
coaching
men. Yeah, well, you know, like I said, coaches eventually get burnt out at some point in time. I don't care what level that they coach at.
You know, when it's not fun, when they're not teaching up to the capability of what they've done in the past, they tend to walk away. And like I said, but most of us aren't quitters. I mean, this is what football built into us, is the fact that, like I said, you're going to get knocked down. There's always somebody bigger, faster, stronger. It's what you do after. It's a quick forget sport, you know. You get burnt for a pass as a defensive back, you got to come back the next play and play. Oh, well, they caught a 40-yard pass. It's what you do the next play. You can come back and intercept the ball. It's all the buildings of life skills. And like I said, I know every coach that will call in, we all have the same passion. And it's just so hard to pass this information on to those who never experienced this. And some people are, as you said, more life experienced, meaning that they're older. And sometimes they have the philosophy that old dogs can't learn new tricks, or they're not going to change their thinking of this and that, you know. So we're working on it, man. It's being worked on and it's getting done, and we're loving it. And I definitely appreciate you calling in. And like I said, just giving some insight on coaching. And again, I wish we got more coaches from all over the state, you know, because, again, everybody has a little different philosophy. Here on the West Coast, we like to pass happy, throw the ball around town. You know, down the coast states, we like to run the ball, get the big beefcakes up front and start blocking and stuff like that. But that's the point that we need to come to understand and get going. Yes, can I help you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, and then now. Okay.
Well, I know there's a lot of teams, you know, and I've gone through some stuff. Me and my coaching staff have gone through some stuff that a team we coach, and there's a lot of, you know, the more and more I talk to coaches and owners throughout the country, whether they be independent teams, IWFL, WFA, WSFL, there's a lot of teams with trials and tribulations, as you would say. And just to the ladies, you know, as coaches, for the most part, even though we're men, we've gone through it. You know, I've talked to players from other teams, and, you know, I let a few of them know that, hey, I didn't always like my coaches. And just like you were saying earlier, you know, even though my head coach and me butted, clear back in high school, butted heads like crazy, I respect the man fully, you know, and the lessons he was teaching me in the game are lessons that have helped me out in today's life. But at the end of the day, the coach is always right no matter what. And if you have disagreements with your coach, get with your coach.
Yeah, me and Willie Brown are still friends. So we're actually better friends now than when he was coaching me, because the day that I called him a joke was the day I went from starting defensive back to a third-string wide receiver. You know, he pulled the hate card on me. But you know what? My competitive juices were like, oh, okay, I'm playing wide receiver. So the first day at practice, I'm burning every DB. You know why? Because I know their weaknesses. I practiced with them for 2 years prior to that, you know. I know what they can and can't do. I know I'm faster than they are. So I wind up looking like a superstar. And next thing you know, George Allen turns around and says, who's that number? He even changed my number from number 3, because it rhymed with Fleet 3, you know, to 81. You know, I'm like, who the hell is number 81? You know, I didn't know about Randy Moss, but I'm older than Moss. But what I wind up doing was turn around and competing that next day in practice and wind up becoming, I was bringing into play as a wide receiver. Never played wide receiver in my life. But because I'm not a quitter, it's because I'm always been a small dog on the porch or whatever mentality. I'm going to prove a point, and that's the same mentality I have now. You ain't going to tell me what I can and can't do. I'm going to show you that it can be done. You know, I might be stubborn to that point, but you know what? The point is going to be proven. Either I can or I can't. But I'm not going to just give up. You know.
Yeah.
And that's what some of the ladies got to understand. For those who pay for me, you have to understand that. I'm reasonable, but you're not going to tell me what I can and can't do. And I'm going to tell you what you can and can't do. You're going to show me what you can and can't do. I'm not going to tell you. You got to show me. You know, you don't get the position just because you've been on the team for 3 years. That don't mean crap. If a rookie comes in that's bigger, faster, and stronger, that can get the job done and work harder, she's going to get my attention. You know, and that's where the ladies don't understand, especially those who don't have an athletic background. They think they're entitled to a position. You know, and as coaches, we have to be able to relay that and set the message and set the tone. I have several ladies that have come back to my team And when they came to the meeting on September, I set the tone. There is no starting position. I don't care if you're All-American at this position. Everyone has an equal opportunity to play. If you work hard, learn it, and you're better than the next person next to you. You know?
Exactly.
If you're the best, you'll shine.
When I tell my players the same thing, and I tell them just like I told them last season, just like I've been coached and I've learned to coach, is you fight for your position every week. Every week you're fighting for your position. And I told the girls that I coached last year, you know, I've got 27 of them that came with us to this new team that, hey, you're going to have to work 10 times harder. And they've seen we went from an older team to a way younger. I think the average on my team is 23 years old, average. And, you know, I have the ladies that are a little bit older, and they're a little nervous, but they, in the long run, they have the experience that the young girls don't have yet. They don't have the maturity that the women with age have. So it's football, and at the end of the day, coaches need to listen to players. Players need to listen to coaches. Sometimes there's miscommunication. We just all need to get over the miscommunication. And at the end of the day, it's about football. And if women's football is going to grow, then things have got to change, because, I've talked to a lot of coaches, I've talked to a lot of owners, and there just seems to be drama. And like I said, I've played semi-pro ball in men's leagues. I've seen a lot of drama. I've played on, you know, player-owned teams and coached player-owned teams and seen the drama there. And at the, you know, me personally, I like your system. I like my system that I have now of a coach. And the players are there to play, but we just need to have everybody, coaches and players, just play football, and coaches coach football, and nothing else,
yeah.
And have the discipline and the mental toughness, and just get it done.
Definitely that, coach. I just informed that we are extending the show to 8:30. We are extending the show an extra 30 minutes, so we got about 14 more minutes left to go. I think I got more callers. Somebody else can talk. Okay, yeah, that's no problem, Coach. Like I said, man, my show is open to all that want to call in and express themselves and whatever. Like I said, I don't twist nobody's arm to come on here. Just make it happen. You got the phone number, 347, 826-7278. 347-826-7278. Just press pound and one, or one and pound. Your hand will come up, and you are on the line with Coach Lee, and we can talk football, baby. We can talk football, women's football, that is. Again, I want to thank Coach for coming on.
Thanks for having me, from the
Utah Jinx, independent team here on the West Coast, and just to throw it out there, he will be getting a taste of the showgirls on March 26th. We just signed an agreement, a home and away series with the Jinx. It's just a matter of the second game waiting on our schedule to come out, and we'll place them within our schedule so that they don't interrupt our season or have any conflict. So anyway, like I said, hey, reach out. Do what you got to do. Call 347-826-7278. Press pound and one, and you are in. Like Flynn, and you'll be knowing what's going down. Again, we've been talking about coaching. You know, like I said, we all have feelings. We all have, you know, some people have mentioned to me, again, I use my experience. Some of my players say, wow, Coach, you're like a jelly bean. You're hard on the outside and soft on the inside, because I am. I am like that. Like I said, during the weekday, I'm talking just like I am now. I'm joking, laughing, or whatever, but when it's game day, when it's game day, oh, man, don't come to me with no shoestring issue. Don't come to me because you missed your mouthpiece. I'm focused. I'm focusing on the task. That means putting you in the best position possible, calling the best plays possible, and making sure that we have our A game on. You know, again, lead by example. I don't jump up and down and cheer, and hoot and holler. That's not me. I walk the sidelines. I get into my game face. I'm humping down the sidelines, you know, thinking about this and that. Again, being one or two steps ahead of the other coach. It doesn't help that I'm also the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator and offensive coordinator. I mean, special teams coordinator. That doesn't help because, again, now I'm thinking for three coaches. You know what I'm saying? It's not because I choose to do that. It's just because, again, you get what you pay for. You're only as good as your assistants. If you don't have any good assistants, then your team won't be any good. Okay? So if I'm my own assistant, and sometimes that might be too much of control, if I'm not a control freak. The fact is, I want it done right. I'm a perfectionist. I want it done right. It ain't got to be done my way all the time. I just want it done right. Okay? So, again, understand that. And for the coaches that have gone against me, they know I am prepared. Coaches are prepared. You want to go against coaches that are prepared. It's no challenge in the game if the other coaches don't know what they're doing. It's a joke. Not only will your players see that, but your fans, you know. And, again, I talk about the women's football camp and conference. I don't even coach it. The reason why is because I want my players to experience other coaches and other philosophies and how they do it. You know, I sit back and learn. If they got something that's good and worth the while to take in, I'm going to use it, you know, to make me a better coach, give me the better understand. You know, that's when I take the time to learn. Again, it's not about me. It's about we, and how we going to get it done. What else? I know I talked about the merger before, not the merger, but the partnership agreement. And somebody had just asked about that, what's going down with that. Again, a select group of teams have decided to partner up with the WFA on a possible agreement to play within. Everybody knows that the WFA is open to all teams to play against. There's no restriction on who you can and can't play. Again, for y'all to listen to my show, you guys know that it's beneficial to play many games as possible prior to games that truly count towards, you know, your playoff and stuff like that. So if you have an opportunity, please reach out and play other teams in other leagues, if those leagues allow. I know that the Women's Spring Football League is open to cross-play, you know. So that's good. That's getting women's football towards the same arrow, the same way, you know, when you don't have any limitations. And I think that's what is stifling women's football. Everybody wants to be the elitist status. You know, it's okay to be the best. But when you want to be the elitist, meaning in a league of your own, you're going to find yourself alone, you know. You got to understand, it takes a Las Vegas team to be here in order for an L.A. team to exist. It takes a Sacramento team to exist for a Seattle team to be around. I'm just throwing out these areas on this side of the geographical thing. So, you know, my thing is this, the more football, the merrier, the more you will understand. Don't limit yourself. Don't feel that you're so good that nobody can touch you. Again, don't forget those who help you get to the mountaintop. They can also pull you down, or when you fall, let you continue to roll down the hill because you made it to the top. Just because you're first don't mean you're the best, you know. It just works out that way. It just works out that way, and it's part of life, and you got to understand that. Everyone, each one, teach one. That's my philosophy. That's why I do the show. That's why I do the football camp and conference, because it's a teaching situation. I don't sit up here and boast and brag about me first and me only and this and that. No, it's not about me. It's about us. There will not be a show girl if there's no other team out there. I'm trying to lead by example. I allow another team, so-called. I don't even say I'm allowed, because it's not my destiny. It's not my control. I'm not a control freak. There's another team that started. So what? They're going to start anyway. Let's get it on the football field. That's all I have to say. That's where everything is proven. In the chat room, it ain't proven in the chat room. On the telephone, it ain't proven. On the telephone, on Facebook, it ain't proven. It's proven in practice. It's proven in the game. You talk all the stuff you want in the game because the scoreboard is telling you what's going down. The scoreboard is telling you what's happening. You know? There is not game that I go into thinking that I'm going to lose. I don't care what you got on the other side of the field. I just know that your coach ain't better than me. I know your plan ain't better than mine. I know you ain't teaching your girls better than I'm teaching them, teaching mine. We always prepare. You ask every team that has played the showgirls since day one. It ain't been no cakewalk. We've been the rookie team. We played against four of the top five teams in the nation in one season. That's why we went 2-5. You know? We went 2-5. We learned our lessons. I want to play the best. I want my girls to see what the best is supposed to be. Now we got that target. We got that target. Everybody's shooting after us. And if you don't understand that, then you ain't a baller. You know? You got to understand, when you got the target on your back, life is a little bit harder. You're singled out. People want to be like you or knock you out or knock you down. You know? So, again, you got to understand this. Yeah, I'm talking. Yeah, coach is preaching. But, you know, it's frustrating. Because, again, I can communicate this information, but others can't. There's teams out there that are falling apart. Why? Because of lack of communication. Why? Because of lack of people understanding. Why? Because of rumors. My thing is this. I put it out there on Front Street and say, what's going on? What's going down? Don't hide. Don't hide. Come out and talk about it. You know? If you ain't feeling this and you ain't feeling that and you're not understanding why you're not playing, you need to woman up. Because we talk about women's football, woman up to your position coach first. If you didn't hear the answer that you wanted to hear, then you go to the defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator. Then you go to the head coach. And if all three are saying the same things, ladies, guess what? Three people ain't going to be totally wrong. If anything, three people are going to be right. It's like somebody telling you for the last 10 years you're a crackhead. If they've been telling you that for 10 years, then you must be. You know, that's factual. That's not something that's going to just come up. But if somebody told you that once every 5 or 6 years, then it might not be true. But if you got three people telling you what you got to do, what you must do, and that you got to get better, then you have to do that. That's part of the struggle of football. That's the fight in football. That's what coaches are asking you to do, is to fight. They don't want to hear the word, I can't. I think every coach that has started off their speech and talked about terminology and things that they don't want to hear, I think the first one to come out is, I can't. Can't in your vocabulary. All you can do is do the best that you can. That's what you can do, the best that you can. Once you get to that level, then all the teams across the board will be good. You know, I'm hearing of teams that don't want to play certain teams because the team is good and they don't want to look bad. Well, get off your butt, get in the weight room, and make it happen. Make it happen, Captain. And those women work just as hard. They work hard. You got to work just as hard to be there. But you got to be at practice. And I think that was my last thing that I was talking about before coach. And I know some of the coaches are going through this. You know, women are structured creatures. They like things to be the same thing. Well, I ain't going to say that. That's wrong, because then I'd be talking about another topic. But anyway, they want consistency. They don't want to waste their time, right? I understand that. As a coach, I don't want to waste my time. But I don't want to waste my time putting together a 2.5-hour practice of what we're going to be doing each minute and every minute. And then all of a sudden, show up to practice, and you got 7 players there. Well, guess what? For that 15 minutes, you got to wait, because you have so much structure in your practice that you can't change, you know? And I've had a couple of coaches call me, Coach, I got players talking about we need to have more structure in practice. And they're telling me the same thing that I see, even with the winning team. How can you have structure when you only got 11 players at practice at the time that practice is supposed to start? You go to special teams and you only got 3 players on the special teams that's actually there so that you can do it. Or you want to do an inside run and you ain't got no linebackers. You want to do a 7-on-7 and you ain't got no quarterbacks. You know? You got to understand. If that's what you want, you need to be there on time. You need to get it done. You know? it ain't like Pop Warner football where the parents bring the kids. You know, it ain't their fault that they're late. It's the parents' fault.
You know?
It ain't like high school where right when you get out of fifth period and you go to sixth period, you go straight to football practice. It ain't like college where you got the whole day is based around football practice from 12 to 6 or 12 to 7 in most cases. You know, you don't take classes between these hours because you're dealing with football. We're dealing with adults who got jobs. Understood. But don't ask for something that you can't deliver yourself, which means get to practice on time and make it to practice every day. There's some teams that practice one day a week, and you can see it on the football field. There's some teams that practice 2 days a week, and you can see it on the football field. There's some teams that practice 3 days a week, and you can see it on the football field. Be it that it's good, bad, or ugly, you see it on the football field. There's some teams that just practice offense all the time, and you see it on the football field. There's teams that practice defense, you see it. And there's teams that don't practice special teams at all, and you can see that. You know? You can't have it both ways if you're not there to participate in the structure practice. Every coach that coach football has structure because they got certain things that need to be that got to get done. There's some coaches that are so detailed, they can tell you everything for every minute of practice to when you even have a water break, to when the horn blows, everything. But some of you teams out there aren't ready for that because you're not making it to practice. I know you guys are living in that Allen Iverson video talking about practice. We're talking about practice, not the game, but practice. Yes, football is the most practiced sport. You just can't pick football up. You just can't go and say, oh, let's go play a game. You just can't do that. You can't do that. You have to have structure. You have to have signals. You have to have play calling. You know, if me and my buddies go play 5-on-5 basketball at the local gym or the local rec where I'm at, we can get out on the basketball court and just run up and down the court and pass the ball. We don't run no set plays, no nothing. We just go out there and shoot, get a rebound, blow it back up. You can't do that in football. Even when you go pick up a football game, you get, you know what, in a huddle. And you say, you do this, you run around that trash can, you go by the car and then break around the car and come up like a button hook. You go over to the sewer and then you make a left and do, it's called structure. You just can't say hike and just go get open. It ain't happening. It ain't happening. So again, you're going to reap what you get if you get what you got, but you got to be there to get it. That's right on time, ain't it? Man, this show be rolling like that. You know what? I didn't clock out late again, y'all. I'm about to get in trouble again. Clocking out late is terrible. But you know what? I do that for women's football. You know, we're on the chrono system here. I clocked out late once again. But hey, I'm doing it for the love of football. Love me, leave me. You know, it don't matter. The fact is that Coach Lee, four quarters of Coach Lee, and I got lots of things on my mind. You know what I'm saying? We got 90 seconds and this bad boy is over with. We win in overtime and we come out victorious. You know what I'm saying? That's how we do it in football. You got to be impromptu. You got to do it when it got to be done. You only work with what you got. If you only got what you got, then you get what you have. That's just part of being a good coach. So again, what is the criteria of being a coach? Somebody who's able to be flexible and to be able to make things happen, even though they set something up. If you don't know nothing about that, hey, you in the wrong sport. I am about to get out of here. I'm going to get yelled at tomorrow when I get back to work, because I did check out late. You know, the county is funny nowadays. But anyway, if you got some information, you got something you want to drop, hey, hit me on the news board. A topic you want to talk about, hit me in my inbox. And hey, it could be next week's topic. I love y'all. I see y'all. And peace.